overcomers.ca. The Royal Ephod, Chapter 23, The Agate Stone, Forgetting in Four Realms. Manasa means forgetfulness, to be restored, to have no part of the old nature left within, the putting together of many nations. Agate, even layers, beauty of many colors, where the river flows. Jehovah Kadesh, to be sanctified or separated, the Lord who separates us from our old nature. He will divide the words in our mind from the spirit that gives them life. Philippians 3 verses 13 to 17 Amplified says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions, and if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk and order our lives by that. Brethren, together follow my example and observe those who live after the pattern we have set for you. That's the end of that verse. We have seen how the sword of the Lord will divide bone and marrow, soul and spirit in us through the topology of the agate stone. We have seen how the Lord moves in us in such a way as to reveal the things in us, the giants, that he must cleanse us of. The walk we are in is getting narrower and narrower as the days roll by, straight and narrow as never before. God reveals in us these things so that we can have them dealt with by his love and forgiveness and then be cleansed of them by the blood of Christ. In the next study of the amethyst stone, we will see how God cleanses us from intoxications left by the influence of demonic spirits and personal iniquity. Now we will see how to get past all those things so we can walk clean and holy before the Lord as relates to the agate stone. We have been told many times in our past to forgive those who trespass against us. Also, we have been taught to forgive ourselves for shortcomings and for things that we feel are sinful in our own lives. Not just that, but we have learned to forgive those who hold the Lord in a different light than we do, those whose doctrine, in our opinion, may be an offense to our personal walk. By formula and by ritual, we have forgiven the many offenses that have come. But we need wisdom to realize that the Lord has ordered our circumstances to reveal in us the giants that we need to overcome. Realms of iniquity in our individual hearts that we need to conquer by becoming obedient to the calling of God on our lives. But forgiveness is only half the equation. It is merely one part of what the Lord desires of us in our daily walk with Him and in our fellow companions in tribulation. The other half of the equation is to forget what we have come through. That is not to say that we forget what we have been taught. We forget the slights, the misalignments with our individual purposes, the offenses of a multitudinous variety which afflict us in our walk. We are to learn by the agate upon the royal ephod that not only do we have our inward parts discerned by the Lord, but that offenses will come because of that exposure. That, along with the offenses, will come the lessons taught by forgiving one another, and that by these offenses we learn to forget the past and reach forth unto the things which are before. We know that the Lord is coming to manifest his fullness in his company of overcomers, but the overcomers must first learn to forget their former sorrows. One thing I have personally learned about forgetting is this, that I cannot be totally obedient to the calling of God upon my life unless I forget the past. Not forget the lessons, but the slights, the failures, the offenses against me. That I forgive and forget all that realm. Forgetting sets me free to obey the Lord in whatever new steps He has placed before me. In word of fact, by forgetting those things which are behind, we are able to go on to overcome all obstacles that come before us. God's Spirit must work forgetfulness into us. This cannot be done by our own choice, but by His purposes being fulfilled in our lives through our chastisements as overcomers. So with that being said, I want to share four realms where we are to forget. One, forget sorrow over our hopeless condition when we are awake to it in this world. Forget sorrow that we live in a world that God has cursed because of Adam's fall. Forget sorrow. The mystery of iniquity is increasing, not decreasing in the world. Forget sorrow. We remain in trials and tribulations when we would rather see them completed. Two, forget grief, that there may be areas in our lives that are at enmity against God. Forget grief, bearing sinful men or even our own sin as those who desire holiness instead. Forget grief, that there are some who we walked with in fellowship that have turned aside in deception. Forget grief. We have removed from us any personal ambition by God who desires our lives to be laid down before Him. Three, forget anger. We may have anger towards God Himself for creating our lives in this sinful, fallen world. Forget anger. We can be angry at ourselves over our inability to know and to do the will of God. Forget anger. We can be angry at our fellow man because of conflicts and divisions, political or religious. Four, forget the curse of God. The first and second world will be remembered no more. Forget the curse of God. We will forget the completed work of the mystery of iniquity in us. Forget the curse of God. We will also forget this realm of first death, a further extension of the first and second world. That's the end of those four things. Forgetting the realm of this world is necessary to overcoming a typical human response to negativity, and that is one of self-preservation. By self-preservation, I do not mean the provision needed for living in this world, but rather the preservation of that which we are to forget. Self-preservation that would cause a person to envelop themselves with a protective barrier to any outside influence, so much so that even the Holy Spirit can be quenched because of it. Self-preservation is a false form of forgetting. It is a masked effort to rid oneself of the pain of their life in this world, which can bring much conflict to anyone who desires to do the will of God in it. A true forgetting must be worked into us by the Spirit of God alone, who removes remembrance of the pain of past suffering from us. This is also part of the sword of Jehovah in our lives, to remove from us past pain by causing us to forget. Manasseh, a child of Jacob who was named thus, so that the pain of this world can be forgotten and joy can be its replacement, so that the joy of the Lord can be our strength. If forgetting is not successful in us, we do commit gross sin. We take the tribulation of our lives, the circumstances that surround us, and we build a requiem to them. A shrine is developed, a place of idolatrous worship. Dwelling so much so on these things in negativity is to worship them as a source of hurtful pride. By dwelling on hurtful trials, we build out of the slime of Shinar a new Tower of Babel. We build a tower to make a name for ourselves, that our tribulation becomes a center point of our reasons to exist apart from God's grace. Making a name for our idolatrous worship becomes prominent in our purposes and in our quest to be like gods. The very same temptation that the serpent placed upon Adam and Eve in the original creation. That we would know good and evil. This all comes because of the lack of forgetting. God never intended for us to dwell on the negative testings that come our way. And come they will, for our correction and encouragement. But then we are to go past them and move on into a deeper and more fuller walk with God. Not to stop and build a requiem that denotes personal suffering, when in fact, personal suffering is not what God wants us to remember. Then, in the sinful act of building again the Tower of Babel, we end up with a communion of like-minded souls who are doing the same thing. They all become one in their language and in their thoughts, and making of a name for themselves. The tower they build is to preserve their testings and their pride rather than to forget them. It becomes an association, a communion of soul to soul, rather than of a created child to the King and to their Creator. When the soul-to-soul communion is created by this idolatry, the Lord is forgotten, and man's self-preserving nature is protected and reinforced. So rather, dear overcomers, readers of these pages, forget those things which are behind you, and press forward towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lay aside the sin which so easily besets you, that desire to build your requiem to your sufferings. Forget your sufferings. Remember instead the joy that is set before you, and go on in God and overcome. To be continued, Kenneth B. Fisher.